Yes?
Two things, Mr. President. Ms. Johnson is on the Truman balcony with the Reardons, the Deasons, and the Ganillas. Right. And Secretary Fowler is holding for U-92.
He knew would be under discussion, has been under discussion, and that my feeling was that ultimately it's one they will have to decide. He says he felt that way too because it's really their history and their present policies and their commitments, but this is the area where it's most difficult and they've been most skittish in the way in which they act.
What is that?
Overseas commitments.
Yeah.
That's where the debate is. And presumably Germany. He said one other interesting thing, that they're aiming at a package that will be of much larger size than anything that has been so far. He has no doubt that it will have good effect. But he says he's interested in something more than policy. He wants interested in something more than confidence, that is meeting this current speculative crisis. He wants a program that will actually work and get the country back into balance, and also without destroying their chance to achieve thereafter a more reasonable rate of growth. So that's difficult. No doubt the things they're going to propose next week will cut back. It'll be a tough package for the country to swallow, but he has no doubt that they would carry a united cabinet, and he has the feeling the Prime Minister will go ahead with it in order to carry out his fixed intention of maintaining fixed parity, which means avoiding devaluation, and that he, the Prime Minister, would tell me that he was in the next room. I said, of course, no need to bother him on that. And then the conversation carried on, but I'm giving you the essence of it.
All right. Did you make the point to him loud and clear in a nice way about our problems here down the road if they come to us and say that we want you to bail you out?
Yes,
again?
Sir. I said to him, covered the text of the memorandum that you have, and my notes on the conversation
Did that shock him or surprise him?
No, because I'd been very firm with him last year, and he knew
they'd been to the been up for the last time as far as our.
That's right. I think you might be interested in reading the full text of this. It's about 6 pages of notes, and therefore I didn't want to keep you too late tonight, but. You can have it tomorrow if you'll be interested in reading it. I think it'd be useful back.
When do you leave? Wednesday?
Well, that was my plan, but in the light of all this, I just don't know. I'm getting kind of shaky as to whether I ought to go or not. Just maybe I ought to stay here through the week and let Connor go on and cover the thing for both of us. I don't know.
I would feel better if you did. I think we're in a very shaky position here. Are you tired? You look a little tired to me today.
Well, yeah, I am.
Why don't you get out tonight and go and come back Monday and let's talk about it.
Well, I got Rusk and McNamara and all of them coming in here tomorrow at 10 on this situation that Vattor's memorandum described it to you. I think we've all got to sit down on this one and do a preliminary run before
I
saddle you with it.
I told him that today. Well, get you some rest over the weekend some way, somehow, and then we'll talk about it Monday.
Well,
I would. Do you think this reserve action is going to do any good?
Well, it's very interesting, Mr. President. Yes, it's going to do some good, but I think
Batman says it's meaningless.
Well, he just irrational on this, Mr. President. What is significant is that they've not only taken this action, but they have now asked that there be prompt consideration of legislative proposals to broaden the rate regulatory powers of the three agencies, which would empower those three agencies to prescribe the different rate limitations. Now, this was the legislation that the same sort that they were, you know, very casual about.
I think while Bill Martin's sick, I think we ought to get a Jesse Jones deal. He ought to get in charge of the whole goddamn fiscal situation of the government. And you ought to make up your mind. That's why I think it's more important here than the Hague. Because after all, everything over on the other side is not going to be settled. Where are we going to live, sink or swims? Right here. And I think that what we ought to do is to go in and under this guy, the problems you have, and decide on what we need to put you in a goddamn saddle where you can run this thing. And then let's go up and ask for it. That's what I would do. And then let's get the committee chairman and others in here and let's go through with it. And I think we got to get pretty hard on this fiscal situation. I think they brought all this on themselves. I think if they hadn't have jumped the gun, and after you told them that you'd bring them down there Friday or Monday, whichever day they wanted to, they acted a goddamn fool. And they just jerked off just quick. They just couldn't wait. And when they did, they got us in all this thing. If they'd come down there and we had decided that we ought to have this, or we ought to have it, then we could have asked for more taxes. We could have taken off some more excises, or we could have done something. But they didn't do it.
No.
Now they've got us into it, and every one of these bankers are just tickled to death that their profits are 12 or 14% up. Now, we're going to have to get a policy here where we keep these profits down, these autos go to reducing their prices, and quit going through the ceiling on the profits. And we ask labor to take maybe not 3-2, but maybe 3-2 plus fringes not over half a percent, make it 3-6 or 7, and say, now, if you don't do this, we've got to go for all these things and go now. Taxes, controls, and everything, because we know it's not going to throw it by the wayside. I don't think I can veto the civil service bill.
I don't think you
can do much by withholding. I think you just got to go all or nothing. And I think you better bear that in mind in talking to them tomorrow. And then we'll talk Monday about whether you go. I wish you could send some representative. I feel better when you're here.
What I was saying about going was I was thinking on this to this West Coast business. I think I've got to go to The Hague because I started that thing, and it would be just like you're walking out and refusing to go to a negotiating table in Vietnam for me to refuse to go over there and try and push that thing across. It would be so I've got to go and face that music. But it was that trip out to the West Coast Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I leave here Wednesday afternoon. That's the thing I'm thinking about canceling so that I'd go to The Hague on Sunday night and get back here on Thursday afternoon, having seen Callahan on Wednesday and DeBray, the Frenchman, on Thursday. That much I've got to do, but it's this other thing of cultivating the financial and business powers there on the West Coast, and what, well, you know about it, that Bohemian Grove business.
I see your boy Saxon got out of line.
Yeah, I'm going to slap his ears down, but good. Although he's slapping at the Fed, he's indirectly slapping at me.
Just tell him the president called you and said to keep his goddamn mouth shut for a while. Just tell him that. Can you communicate that?
Just say
the president called me last night and said, will you please tell him to keep his mouth shut for a while?
I'm quite capable of doing that with him. Now, come back to several things you said. I think this action today represents a real big break in the sense that psychologically it's a response to the pressure that I've had on these people. Now, they were aware. I sent a message to them on July the 4th through the president of the American Bankers Association. I was sick and tired of waiting and being nice, and I was going down and push this Congress into a legislated proposal, a legislated rate ceiling. And that's what we started to do that week before. I knew that would get back to them, and this action that you see today is a response to that pressure.
I think what you ought to do is tell Robertson and Maisel and Bremer. Tell Bremer, first of all, you recommended him, urged him, and you want him there, but that we don't want to have a war with them. But we are going to have a war. I'm just goddamn tired of them screwing things up, and that's what the Federal Reserve Board's done, in my judgment. Now, tell them then what you think we ought to have, and we think they ought to stay together, and they ought to help us.
Well, now, Mr. President, though, before we get too far on that, let me say that the three fellows that voted against this thing in December all feel that there is too much demand. They want to see something cut back. Now, the bridge, as I see this picture and this summer, the thing that is really needed, and I reconcile myself to this civil service thing, but the thing that we really need this summer is to have you take a public position along the lines of that draft letter I've been poking at you in revised form every three or four days. If you got out in the public on that next week in the wake of the statement you're going to make at the press conference tomorrow that Charlie sent over and which he's checked out with me, which I think is an excellent statement, if in the wake of that early next week you sent a letter to the leadership and the Appropriations Committee chairman with copies to all the members along the lines of that particular letter, I think you would have taken...
No one will ever read that letter. Matter of fact, you can't get a staff member to read it. It's just too long. They're not going to read that kind of stuff.
Let them shorten it down. It's the kind of a state paper, really, that puts you in... It takes the firm kind of public posture on this question that I think these Republicans would just be completely boxed into the corner. I've seen Dirksen three times now, and every time he tells me this, he said, how can the members of my party carry on this